Good morning, everybody. The title for today's message is Look Up, for Your Salvation is Near. Being aware, but staying focused. But first of all, I just wanted to say how strange it is that we're continuing to meet like this. That's not really the correct word, but that we're meeting online, so to speak. How much we're missing everybody, how much we're missing fellowship. I know that so many of us are missing all of that. And we're looking forward to hearing how we can begin to start opening up society again, begin to start meeting together, hopefully. We'll wait to hear what instructions were given. And hopefully that will be soon, but just wanted to say just how much everybody's been missed and looking forward to meeting up together again. Okay, I think we'll start with prayer and then we'll come to our opening scriptures this morning. So let's pray together, shall we? Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to share your word again this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, of being able to look into your word. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you give us, Lord, of being able to see what you are saying to us, to hear what you are saying to us. Lord, give us listening ears, we pray. Give us hearts that are open to your leading and your directing. Lord, I pray that you'll anoint this word and anoint what is said for your glory in your body, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read a selection of scriptures as we start off this morning. Like I said, the message of this title is Look Up, for Your Salvation is Near. I feel like that it's important for me to address some of the things that have become, that I've become aware of over recent times, and really what God is saying to us as believers in these times. That's always my heart, that we hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us and that we walk in his ways. So I'm going to start off by reading from, these are familiar scriptures no doubt to us, start off by reading just one scripture from Matthew 24. This is the passage where the disciples ask the Lord about the end times, the sign of his coming and of the end of the age. And Jesus answered in verse 4, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Watch out that no one deceives you." I'm going to skip across to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Thessalonians concerning the day of the Lord. And he says this, "Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day, the day of the Lord, will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction." So the Apostle Paul there, like Jesus, says concerning the end times, let no one deceive you. And I'm also just going to read from Proverbs 22, verse 3. Proverbs 22, verse 3. "The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it." The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. Now, it'll become clear why I've read those scriptures as we go on through our study this morning. And I feel that it's important to just reflect a little bit on where we are. I know we've all said so much about what a strange period of time this is that we're in, with the lockdown for the last 6 or 7 weeks, the coronavirus, all of that kind of thing. But I think, as I say, it's important for us to perhaps take stock, perhaps to have a review, perhaps to look at things and glean what we can as believers for our time that we're in. It's such a strange period of time. We're perhaps a bit used to it now, but we shouldn't get used to it because it's a strange time. This is something unique that has happened in the modern world, probably in the world as a whole, that the whole world has come to something of a standstill, something of a stop, that societies have been shut down globally. That is really, really strange, and we shouldn't sort of get used to the fact that that is in no way a normal situation. Now, I want to just say at the outset that I don't doubt the seriousness of this virus. I don't doubt that that it is a very serious virus, that it is having a terrible effect, excuse me, that you know, that our sympathies with all of those who have been affected, all of those who have suffered, those who have died, the many thousands who have died, in no way am I belittling any of that. There's no doubt that there is a viral pandemic afoot. But as I say, we're in a strange and unique time. The scale of this lockdown, I have no doubt, the scale of this lockdown that it is linked to end times issues. Beyond the headlines, beyond the daily briefings of what we're hearing, beyond of what we're being told, that underlying all of this, there are end times issues at play. What's to come is unknown, but without a doubt, there will be a global recession, probably the biggest in history. Some kind of financial shakeup, who knows? People are talking about the advancement of a cashless society as a result of the dangers that books can live on the banknote or whatever it might be. That I did read somewhere that what they were expecting to take place in 5 years in terms of becoming cashless as a society will possibly happen in 5 months now. But that aside, you know, the financial institutions of the world and the extent to which central banks and other institutions have had to go into further debt to try and keep economies afloat and keep things going is enormous. We don't know the outcomes of things like that. But as we've gone through this lockdown, I've had questions and issues that I've been mulling over, and I've discussed some things with various ones. And I think there are various issues that are coming to light. And I know that other people in the fellowship have issues that there seems to be an issue of control. What is this something about control of a society? The sense of something going on that we don't quite know what. Those scriptures we read, our Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul, they both warned us not to be deceived concerning the end times. That's how they kind of both started off their messages about it in those passages. And I know that it was specifics, Jesus saying, you know, many will come in my name pretending to be the Messiah, so don't believe them. And Paul saying, don't be deceived concerning the day of the Lord coming. Certain things have to happen before the day of the Lord comes. And God willing, perhaps next week, we may just remind ourselves of some of those things, some of those issues, some of those passages in Scripture that describe events of the end times, and perhaps what we need to be on the lookout for as a result of those things being there. So but that's perhaps for next week. But both Jesus and Paul warned us not to be deceived. And I think it's clear to say that the nature of the end times is deception and lawlessness. I'm going to go back to Matthew 24. We just read verse 4. Jesus said to them, "See that no one leads you astray." But let's also read verses 12 to 14. Because Jesus is describing the beginning of birth pangs, if you like, the beginning of the end times. And he says in verse 12, "And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come." And I want to jump back into 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We read verse 3, where Paul says, "Let no one deceive you in any way." But also, let me read to you, well, it goes on to say in that verse, "Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come, the day of the Lord, unless the rebellion comes first, or the great falling away," in other translations, "and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction." Verse 7, Paul says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work." And in verse 9, he says, "The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan." So here in this chapter, Paul refers to the end times and the approach of the day of the Lord and the approach of the great tribulation period, although he doesn't specify that in those terms. He says it's characterized by lawlessness. "Let no one deceive you." So there's the element of deception there. "The man of lawlessness, the mystery of lawlessness, and the coming of the lawless one." So as well as deception being the characteristic of the end times, so is lawlessness. Bearing that in mind, and we'll come back to those things, our responses to them, if you like, I want to just run through several of the things that I've been considering over recent weeks. Questions, concerns and observations that I have, and no doubt many of us perhaps have as well. And I'm indebted to those who have sent emails and video links and things like that. But as we all should, we should all check what we're watching, what we're reading. Can we verify things? Can we check things out? And so these are some of the things that I've been looking into and have checked out and have issues with. First of all, some questions in my mind concerning some of these things. Not massive queries, but questions in my mind. First of all, and I did mention this to one or two several weeks ago, that we can look on the government website, the gov.uk website, and we can see that if you have a look at the webpage for highly contagious infectious diseases, that the government downgraded COVID-19 from being highly contagious infectious disease on the 19th of March, which was 4 days before the lockdown was initiated. In other words, the government was saying that it was not as infectious as at first thought. So I don't personally understand why then we moved to a draconian lockdown just a few days later. That's a question mark in my mind. The lockdown, as I understand it, was initiated on the advice of government advisors like Neil Ferguson, I think it's from Imperial College London. Initiated in order to protect life. We understand that. Everybody's been supportive of that. We recognise that it's important to protect life, save lives, etc. The saying that was being bandied about every day. But much of the reasoning in going into the lockdown to the extent that we did was based on information provided by Professor Ferguson and the models that he produced. He produced a model, I believe, saying that unless a lockdown was initiated, that 500,000 people would die. 500,000, I think, was the number that was mentioned. I mean, this is a huge lockdown. This is, you know, a massive removal of our freedoms, of our mobility, entirely justified based on the need to protect life, that if we didn't, that there would be hundreds of thousands of people who died. But it's only now, since he's been involved, Professor Ferguson, in having to resign because of, you know, dubious behaviour, dubious circumstances, only now is it coming out that the models that he and his team have used have actually been based on flawed information or flawed software. Apparently, the models, the mathematical models that produce these figures, have been made on equipment or on models that have been described as Pac-Man era software, that are completely unreliable. And it turns out that he has a record, this professor, of over-exaggerating risk. I believe several examples. I'm only going to mention one, that the BSE scare, was that the mad cow disease one, that his models suggested 150,000 people would die, when in fact it was something less than 200 people. I'm not sure how well the evidence that he proposed was investigated, how well it was checked. It seems to me that it was based on dubious foundations. The issue of the contact tracing app that we're told is under trials in the Isle of Wight and may be rolled out nationally, that we all will need to download and use so that we our movements can be recorded, our interactions with other people with the same app, the Bluetooth connections can be recorded, and we can be told if we need to isolate ourselves. This is something that is undoubtedly a further erosion of our privacy. The question of how much privacy we really have these days, when, you know, Google, Apple, Facebook, even your Tesco club card, governments, etc., know much of what we do, where we go, even who we meet. We know that already. But this contact tracing app, I think there are questions to be asked about it. I'm not 100% happy about it, although I understand the theory towards it helping society open up again, understand all of that. Another question I have is that I don't quite understand why we've gone to such an extent of lockdown when the Public Health England figures for the average number of deaths from flu infections over the last 5 years has been 17,000 deaths every year. That's an average. I believe it peaked in one winter at 28,000 deaths from flu. And there was another year when it was only as low as 1,700. But there was a peak of 28,000. The average is 17,000 deaths from flu. So I think there are questions about what are the excess deaths involved in all of this. I know we're given a figure and it's something like 31,000 people have died from it, and that's nothing but a tragedy. But what I'm trying to say is, how is that so greatly different from a normal situation? What about the excess deaths that will be caused or have been caused by the lockdown? As I say, these are questions that I have in my mind. And the reason for mentioning them is because I've come across some other things that I think are very concerning and that we need to be aware of to a certain extent. Now, at this point, I want to just make a caveat by saying that we need to check everything. We need to, you know, not everything we're going to come across will be 100% correct. We need to be careful that we're not carried along with anything that's conspiracy theories that are perhaps outrageous or might seem to be outrageous at the first hearing. We need to check things. We need to be discerning. We need wisdom. But at the same time, let's not dismiss things because they sound crazy. Because we are in an age of deception, without a doubt. And we need to be checking things. I believe that as Christians, we need to be aware of what is going on in the world around us. And I've come across several things I'm just going to mention here. First of all, it's a historical video. It's Dr. Chuck Misler. And I like a lot about Dr. Chuck Misler. I like a lot about his teaching. Don't necessarily go along with everything, but I do like a lot about his teaching. And there's one particular video, you can look it up on YouTube. If you put in Chuck Misler, M-I-S-S-L-E-R, transhumanism. And he did a talk on transhumanism back in 2013. And I will put a link down to several of these things at the foot of the page. And I would recommend that we check these things out for ourselves. I'm not going to talk too much about any of these things, but I want to just express to you my concerns. In that video, Dr. Misler talks about the developments going on concerning research, concerning moves to, how can I describe it? It's difficult to describe. Moves to develop things that sound crazy. The push towards transhumanism, it's very, very sinister. He warns about the development by certain corporations or organizations, the development of viruses that can target specific ethnicities. Well, that straight away is alarming because this virus that we're in the middle of now seems to target specific ethnicities. He talks about the move in developing human hybrids with injectable chips and organic gels and things like that. This is from 7 years ago. He's warning about some of these things, that these things are under development even then. So that's kind of like a historical background video. It's worth a watch. It's worth a watch, although there are some things in there, as I say, that, you know, let's take what we can use and be aware of some of those developments and those things from 7 years ago. Another thing that I became aware of was a video sent to me, and I did watch it. It's actually now been removed by YouTube, as people were saying that it may be, although we can still watch it because it's available on a different platform, but YouTube has removed it. And it's a video interviewing a Dr. Judy Mikovits. She was a highly accomplished molecular biologist. She is one of those. She was famous in 1991, a thesis on the treatment of HIV/AIDS. So she's a substantial academic. And she published an article in the journal Science regarding the common use of animal and fetal tissues, in other words, baby tissues or stem cells from aborted babies. And she basically exposed this practice and this use and how those practices were actually releasing devastating chronic diseases and causing things like that. What happened after that is that basically, how can we say, the establishment, Big Pharma, other people like that, she claims they destroyed her career and her personal life. She was arrested without charge and had to sign a gag order. In other words, she could not proceed in trying to convey this message that she had of corruption in that sort of realm. She's a very credible lady. In this video, she speaks out against the current pandemic cover-up in the US and the corruption associated with it. And it's a very, very interesting video. It's something that is worth a watch. And some of these things are corroborated themselves. I mention another video link that I was sent, that quite a long interview with another lady who was an ex-FEMA employee, I believe, Federal Emergency Management Agency, I believe it is, in the States. And that video, this video and the Dr. Mikovits video are both quite US-centric, but nonetheless very interesting. And in that video, she's talking about DARPA, which is an American military research establishment, that they were developing and have developed like a hydrogel that's injectable, that basically is very, very sinister in what it does. You have to see the videos really to describe it. Sinister things that work in concert with injectable chips, in other words, so that your biology can be used to provide early warning of any infection and things like that. When I first heard that, I have to say I thought it was a bit outlandish, I thought it was a bit crazy, and things along those lines. It seemed to be a bit too far-fetched in some ways. But when I started to look into it and find other articles that describe things like that, articles like the one I've linked at the bottom before on the Mashable website that talks about a sensor that's injected to detect infections funded by DARPA, this Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, a 3mm string of hydrogel. It starts to corroborate these other sources of that kind of information. And so the whole thing becomes very, very, very concerning. I looked at the World Economic Forum website, again prompted by that same video, and they have on there like an infographic concerning the COVID they have on there an infographic concerning the COVID crisis, with lots of like a circle with lots of arms coming out from the center, and part and parcel of the World Economic Forum's response, if you like, to the COVID emergency is global governance, one of their areas that they have listed on that. It's on their strategic intelligence page, but if you put that in, you'll find it comes up. If you put COVID in, World Economic Forum, global governance, it comes up with global governance and plans and intentions and elements concerning the global governance aspect of things. Well, looking into the World Economic Forum, well, this is the organisation which organises the annual Davos meetings in Switzerland. You've probably heard of those on the news, how many top industrialists, wealthy billionaires, leading politicians, a whole array of different people are invited to these conferences every January, I think it is, in Davos in Switzerland. And a little bit of studying shows that the founder of the World Economic Forum is, I have his name here somewhere, it's not important what he was called, but I do have his name here somewhere, Klaus somebody, that he actually was a member of the steering committee of the Bilderberg Group, which already raises concerns and questions. And that this gentleman has written a book, amongst other things, called The Fourth Industrial Revolution. And the Fourth Industrial Revolution features largely in a lot of the World Economic Forum's activity. They have a webpage about it. I'm just going to read from their webpage. The Fourth Industrial Revolution represents a fundamental change in the way we live, work, and relate to one another. It is a new chapter in human development, enabled by extraordinary technological advances commensurate with those of the first, second, and third industrial revolutions. These advances are merging the physical, digital, and biological worlds in ways that create both huge promise and potential peril. I won't go on, but the fact that they are there saying that this fourth industrial revolution that they promote merges the physical, digital, and biological worlds. And that keys into these things that other websites are talking about, that there's a merging going on of various advanced technologies, which includes biological things, includes things like this hydrogel that people have talked about. The things that Dr. Chuck Misler talks about in his transhumanism video. Another issue that has concerned me has been the discovery that last September, I think it was, the Pope called for a global pact on education towards his new humanism. The Pope is promoting a thing called a new humanism, and he called for a global pact, in other words, a global coming together, a global agreement. It was supposed to take place this coming week in Rome, but has been put back to the autumn at this stage. You can look that up for yourself. There are big question marks concerning that, the fact that the Pope is calling for a new humanism. Very, very dubious, very, very sinister. Another thing that concerned me, Gordon Brown, our ex-Prime Minister, has been quoted, and you can again look this up for yourself, basically saying that this global issue of the coronavirus, it is a global issue and therefore it needs a global solution. I mentioned earlier on about the move towards cashlessness, how even in this last few weeks the limit for the amount that you can pay for cash in a cashless way by contactless your card on the counter there, you just tap your card, has gone up from £30 to £45, and that people are saying that this will promote the move towards a cashless society. And finally, it's been related as being like a war, that the effects of this virus has been related to as if it was like being in wartime again, and those analogies have been used numerous times. Well, at the end of the First World War, the League of Nations was introduced. At the end of the Second World War, the United Nations was introduced. The League of Nations became the United Nations, a beefed up version. And if this is being classed as a global war today, then what's going to come out of it? Can we expect some other beefing up of the UN? Can we expect changes in terms of global governance? I think we can expect that. We should not be surprised by talk about that. And so this is what I mean about all of these things. Together, in my mind, what we're seeing is that we're in the middle of a big step towards or into further into the end times. There's a ramping up going on that we should be aware of, which is why I've taken the time to describe those things already that I just have. These all represent a ramping up, a huge change. It's as if the world has been stopped so that something can be done to it, something can be changed, things can be made different. Personally, I don't doubt the hand of the Antichrist Brigade in all of this. I don't doubt that for a minute. I'm not saying that that's of our government. I'm saying that it's beyond governmental limits. This is the wider, more sinister background things that are going on. So bearing in mind, as we said at the beginning, the nature of the end times is deceit and lawlessness. I believe that we need to stay focused on God and His Word in these times. I know I've just spent time talking about things that are going on. I believe it's right for us to be aware. I'm not saying all of these things are definite. I'm saying that these are things I have concerns about, that there are things going on that should concern us, that we should be aware of, in as much as they point us to recognize we are in the end times. We talk about the end times as if it's something that will happen at some stage in the future to somebody else. Well, I believe we are right in it right now. It's happening around us. And I believe that we need to be aware, but more than that, we need to stay focused. Focused on God and His Word in these times. And I want to share three things. Three things, beginning with P, actually, which is very unusual for me to have 3 points beginning with P. I don't usually do things like that when I'm speaking, but today there are three things that I think we need to, bearing in mind the situation we find ourselves in, the things we've just talked about, the things that we realise the Lord and the Apostle Paul says to us concerning the nature of the times in which we are now, that they are times of deception and they are times of lawlessness. So first of all, I want to talk about our position. We need to position ourselves. And the first scripture I want to say about that is from John 15, verses 7 and 8, that we should abide in the Lord and His Word abide in us. Jesus said, abide in me. As a branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, neither can we bear fruit unless we abide in Him and His Word in us. John 15. I'm going to read from Matthew 22, because in Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40, Jesus is asked, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. And Jesus said an amazing thing. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. On these two commandments of love, depend all the law and the prophets. So Jesus is saying there that we have to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our strength, and we should love our neighbour as ourselves. These two are the foundations for keeping all the law and the prophets. And we know from Matthew 5:17 where Jesus said that he did not come to abolish the law, he came to fulfill it. Jesus himself is the fulfillment of the law of God. And so as we abide in him and his word abides in us, we will fulfill these requirements. His love, as we are loving him and as we love our neighbours, we will fulfill that law that Jesus fulfilled in his flesh when he fulfilled the law of God. He came to fulfill the law of God. And so as we are in him and his word is in us, we will do these things. Let me turn to 1 John. 1 John 3, verse 6. The Apostle John says, "No one who abides in him, no one who abides in the Lord, keeps on sinning. No one who abides in the Lord keeps on sinning." He does say elsewhere that you know, if we do sin, if we fall, that there is forgiveness for us if we confess our sins. In other words, we're not going to become people who never sin. We always have to come back to the cross for repentance, to cleanse us from the mistakes we make, or the things we say, the things we do or don't say or don't do, that are sin in our lives. But if we abide in the Lord, we will not practice sinful behaviour. It will not be a common practice. It will be something that is occasional, if I can put it that way. But we will be, if we abide in him, we don't keep sinning. In other words, we're keeping his law. The law of God that is written on our heart. As we abide in the Lord, so we fulfill God's law. We're walking in his light. As we abide in the Lord and his word in us, that's the key. We read at the outset from Proverbs about the prudent see danger and hide themselves. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. If we are being prudent in these days, we recognize there is danger ahead. This is what I'm trying to say. We can see from the things that I've talked about and what's going on that there is danger ahead. Society, we know from Scripture the way society is going to go. We know that the Antichrist is going to arise. We know that the end times will be fulfilled because God's word says so. So being prudent, we see that danger and we hide ourselves. And where do we hide ourselves? On an island somewhere? Much as that might sound great, do we hide ourselves away from the rest of society? No, I don't believe that's the way at all. I believe we hide ourselves under the shelter of the Almighty. We hide ourselves by abiding in the Lord. We hide ourselves by walking in his light. That's our position. That's the position we need to adopt in these times. His love in our hearts demonstrates itself in our love for others, practical ways that we show the love of God, that we demonstrate the love of Jesus, which has been shed abroad in our hearts. We evidence that by the way we treat other people and by the way that we don't fail to share the gospel. Because practical demonstrations of love, in my mind, include telling somebody about Jesus, telling them that without him they have no hope for eternity. And just finally on this passage of our position, I want to read from Luke 21, verse 28, familiar scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, again, this same passage concerning when they asked him about the end times and he starts to explain things to them. He said, "When these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near." In other translations it says, "Look up, for your redemption draws near." Lift up your heads, stand up straight, raise your heads, lift up your heads. In other words, our focus is on the Lord himself. Our redemption draws near. That's our position. That's how we should position ourselves in Christ, abiding in the Lord. Okay, secondly, What's our point of view? Our point of view. What should our point of view be? And I think it's fairly simple. Excuse me. I think our point of view needs to be something fairly simple. And that is that the battle is the Lord's. The battle that we are involved in is not our battle. The battle is the Lord's. And we can look up lots of different scriptures concerning that. But we know that. We know that the battle is the Lord's. We know from what we heard from Dr. Anang last week concerning the spiritual realm described in Daniel chapter 10. We know we're in a spiritual battle. We know that there is this the principalities and powers at work. We're not called to fight the battle. The battle is the Lord's. We are called, I believe, and this should be our point of view, we're called to stand as his witnesses. Those two things, to stand as his witnesses. And I want to read from some verses from Ephesians 6. Again, we'll be well familiar with these scriptures, but Ephesians 6 verse 10, Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." This is the English Standard Version. He says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." That is not our battle. It's the Lord's battle. But the Lord here says we need his armour. We need to be strong in him, in the strength of his might. We need to put on the armour of God, and it goes on to describe all of that. Otherwise, we cannot possibly stand. But God calls us to stand. So that's our point of view. The battle is the Lord's. We are called to stand. Secondly, we're called to be his witnesses. Well-known scriptures concerning this. First of all, in Matthew 28, at the end of the chapter there, Jesus said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." He is with us always. He's with us now. He's with us in our present afflictions. He's with us to the end of the age, Jesus said. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, the same thought. Verse 8, Jesus said to his disciples just before his ascension, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." We are called to be his witnesses. We're called to stand, and we're called to be his witnesses. He is our strength throughout the end times. So that's our point of view. That we understand the battle is the Lord's. We have our part to play. We have our role to play, and we need to do those things I've just said. but the battle is the Lord's. That's our point of view. It's not for us to fight these battles. What, you know, the things that are going on in the wider world, they're not our battles. The things that are going on in the heavenly realms, God has called us to stand and to be his witnesses. That's where our focus needs to be. Our point of view, we need to understand the battle is the Lord's. And finally, our practice. What should our practice be? And this is a very simple passage as we draw to a close. Something that I was meditating on last week in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18. Paul simply says this: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you, in Christ Jesus for you. So this simply, I believe, is what our practice should be. You know, there's lots of things we could say, lots of things we could look at concerning this, but we need to keep things simple because, well, if you're anything like me, you need something simple, a simple direction. That's why the government's message of stay at home, save lives, protect the NHS has been so effective, because it's simple and people have done it. Well, this is, if you like, what God is saying to us. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is our practice. This is what we should be saying to each other, I believe. This is our instruction, if you like, that we could have. You know, like they have the government thing on the podiums every day, on the lecterns there. And I know it's about to change, hopefully, in the next few days. But this is ours. This is something that we could have written out, that we read and see every day, a message that's reinforced every day, because this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. So those three things, I believe, are important for us to get hold of in these days. We're in a changing time. We don't know how things are going to go on. We don't know how things are going to proceed, etc. But we know that things are going to change. We know that we're in a season of rapid change towards the end of the end times, if you want to call it that. And so to summarize, let's position ourselves by abiding in the Lord and his word in us. Put ourselves in the right position. Our point of view, let's adopt the point of view that it's his battle. The end times is the Lord's battle. Let's not try and fight it for him. Let's simply do what he's called us to do, and that is to stand and to be his witnesses. And let's practice. Let our practice be that God says, to rejoice, to pray, to give thanks in all circumstances. Because God has called us to play our role in these times. And I want to encourage us that, you know, God doesn't call us to do what we cannot do. He doesn't call us to understand things we cannot understand. I think it's good for us to be aware that these things are going on and there are issues, etc., the things that I've been talking about. But he calls us to stay focused. Look up, for your redemption draws near. Position ourselves, abiding in the Lord and his word in us. Adopt the point of view that it's his battle, and make our daily practice of rejoicing, praying and giving thanks. As we meditate on these scriptures that I've flicked through, I know I've flicked through a lot of different scriptures, but as we meditate on those scriptures, let the Holy Spirit speak to us through his word, that we are those who are ready to serve in these days. I do believe that there will be horrible and frightening things happen in the end of the end days. But God is our very present help in the time of trouble. He is the one where our focus needs to be, because he will enable us, he will strengthen us, he will bless us, he will guard and protect us. He is our salvation, he is our stronghold, he is our strong tower. All of these things I want to encourage us, that as we stay focused on him, that he will be all that we need in these days. Amen. Let's pray together as we close. Lord, thank you so much for your word. I thank you that you are high and lifted up. Thank you, Lord, that nothing takes you by surprise. Thank you that you have warned your church from the New Testament times, from even the Old Testament times, many of the scriptures, Lord, from the prophets, the law and the prophets. Lord, how you have warned us that these days will be days of deceit and days of lawlessness, but we can be ready in you. We can be positioned in you. We can be adopting the correct point of view, and we can be practicing the things that you say to us. Lord, help us to do these things. Help us, Lord, not to be overawed by events in the world, but Lord, help us to be fully focused on you, fully determined to fulfill the things that you have called us to do. In Jesus' precious name,